You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Connie writes it. I do.
Just like that, little Greta told me, down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty, beer in the tackle box, out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look, pour in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide, Papa's going out of sight, even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner, cause I kinda like a bit, and I don't mind sitting here.
Good morning, fishing fans. This is Captain Debbie Hansen welcoming you to Real Talk Radio on 770 AM, 104.3 FM, and 101.5 FM in Naples. You can also listen to us live at ESPNSWFL.com or by downloading the ESPN app. It is producer Rick Church and I here in the studio this morning, along with my very special guest co-host, Mr. Ronnie Green, host of A Fishing Story TV, renowned bass angler. It is such a pleasure to have you here, Ronnie.
Debbie, thank you so much for having me on the show. I've been just keeping up with you. I love what you're doing, and I'm just thrilled and honored to be on the show this morning.
Wow. Well, I can't wait. I have so many questions prepared for you because I know you've been on the go. You just got back from the Classic.
Yes.
You were up in Boca Grande doing some tarpon fishing. I'm guessing you're getting ready, preparing for another season of the show.
Yes, we are.
You're working on some new projects.
Yeah.
So lots to talk about this morning. Lots to talk about, yes, yes. For sure. And happy Father's Day. I want to wish you a happy Father's
Thank
Day.
Thank you so much.
To start off, I know that you're the father of three amazing young adults.
Yes.
Lauren, yes. Ryan, and Joshua, correct?
Yes, yes. That's my crew, and I'm just honored to be their dad. I really am. You know, I've just seen a lot of the remnants of what I taught them. And kids are funny because just when you think you're teaching them a lot of things, at the end of the day, they just watch more than they listen.
True.
And so, I'm learning that, and I find myself doing a lot of the same things that my dad did, in the sense of like, wow, I didn't know you were listening to me kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's amazing. I love those.
And I'm sure probably kids. When they were younger, you were wondering if anything was actually sinking in. But now
yes.
that they're getting into adulthood, you probably yes. start to see a lot of the,
yes.
a lot of their personality really shining through. And that's just so neat to see how much they're achieving.
It is amazing, and I call them little mini me's because all of them have their unique personalities, but I can see parts of me in all of them. My oldest with the humor, oh my goodness, he's just never serious, but he's also a very successful businessman. My middle son, the analytical one, he is always analyzing, sometimes overanalyzing everything, but he's very intelligent. And very strategic in his moves. And then, of course, my princess, my daughter, she is my clone. Everything about her, I seem to notice, is just like me. So I laugh every time I watch her. I'm like, I feel like I'm watching myself.
Yeah, because you were an All-American sprinter yes. in college, correct?
Yes, yes.
And Lauren is on the track team, and
yes.
she just graduated from University of Nevada?
Yes,
is it correct?
She
okay.
did. I'm so proud of her. So all three of my kids are college graduates as of now. You know, Ryan from the Naval Academy and Lauren from the University of Nevada. And, of course, Joshua from New Mexico State. So I'm just thrilled. And then Lauren's on her way to the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. They're at Arizona State. So she's pretty excited as well. And they were here
to go
fishing with Dad.
So cool. Yeah. So you guys got out, when was it? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks
yes.
ago? And you got to do some bass fishing together?
Yes. Bass fishing and tarpon. They like that. We want to do some tarpon. I said, well, you know what that means. We've got to get up early. And sure enough, you know, they know how I am. When it's time for me to go, when it's time to go, I need you to be
You got to be ready. Got to be on your game.
Sure enough, I wake up and I'm looking for them. I go in each of their rooms. I'm like, hey, where are you guys at? I walk outside and they did what we normally did growing up. They're standing right next to the truck with their stuff in their hand, ready to roll. Because when Dad says, are you ready? That means you got to be ready. That means I'm getting ready to start the truck. That means you're ready to go. So I love it.
Oh, that's so fantastic that you guys had a chance to spend some time on the water together, because with all of your busy schedules, I'm sure it's not easy to get the whole crew together and make some new memories like that on the water together. So that is just, that's so awesome. That's fantastic. I'm just going to run through our weather and tides here this morning real quick, and then we'll get into our conversation. I'm sure some of the guides and outfitters will be calling in shortly. So for today, Saturday, it is that time of year. We got to start paying attention to what's going out there in the tropics and in the Gulf, because mm-hmm. we actually have the third named storm of the season out there. Tropical Storm Claudette is out in the Gulf off Louisiana, which is not going to have any impact here in Southwest Florida. But obviously, it's that time of year, guys. Make sure you're prepared for storm season. You've got all your supplies ready. So for today, Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 92. We've got heat index values as high as 104. It is toasty out there. Increasing clouds this afternoon, south-southeast winds, 10 to 15 miles an hour. And then for tonight, isolated showers and thunderstorms possible before 8, mostly cloudy with a low around 77. Southeast winds, 10 to 15, becoming south-southeast winds, 10 to 15, becoming southeast after midnight. And then for tomorrow, Sunday, we've got cloudy skies with high near 90, chance of a few stray showers and thunderstorms, south-southwest winds 10 to 15, chance of precipitation is 40%. And for tomorrow night, Sunday night, isolated showers and thunderstorms after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy, low around 77, south wind 5 to 10, becoming calm in the evening. So that's the weather, and then the tides. And as always, remember the tides I read off on air, guys, are for Estero Bay, Big Carlos. But you really, if you're fishing that incoming, you should be out there right now. High tide is right around 9 o'clock this morning, 8:59, and that's just shy of 2.5 feet. So that's 2.4. So really the best time to be fishing that incoming is going to be any time from now until about 8:30. This morning, so fishing along those mangrove edges, the cuts, the bottlenecks. And then we've got low tide, 3:23 p.m. this afternoon, and that's just above a half a foot, 0.7. And then high tide is 9:39 this evening, 1.9. So you've also got a really good opportunity to fish that outgoing from 10, from right around, let's see, 10 o'clock today until about 2:30, 2:45 this afternoon. And then heading into tomorrow, Sunday, pretty similar morning. Tomorrow morning, you're going to be fishing that incoming. Low tide is at 2:52 a.m., and then your high tide is 9:31 a.m. So you're going to be fishing that incoming right around 6:30 a.m. until about 9. You've got about a foot and a half of moving water. And then low tide is going to be 4:31 p.m., tomorrow, and that's just above mean low tide at 0.3, and then you've got your high tide at 11:21 p.m. tomorrow night. So, yeah, basically you've got over 2 feet on that outgoing tomorrow, too. You can fish that right around 10 o'clock in the morning until about 4 in the afternoon. You've got some good moving water there, too. And then just real quick, our red tide report, things are looking better as far as that goes. We've got low to medium concentrations in and offshore of Charlotte, background to very low in and offshore of Lee, and background to very low in and offshore of Collier County. There was some respiratory irritation over the past week in Pinellas County. And of course, for additional information, you can always head over to the Red Tide Report at myfwc.com. That said, I am going to run over to the line too and grab Mr. Nick Davis, who's standing by from 239 Flies. Hey, Nick, good morning. Hey, Rick, are our phones, something's going on with our phone lines?
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it?
Because it does. I can't pick him up in here.
I don't, you know, when Nick...
it's always an exciting morning in the Real Talk studio,
God, I don't know.
gotta love it.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to just try because we got Captain Rob on hold, too. So hang up, fellas. I'm going to try rebooting the phones and see if that helps, okay?
Yeah, well, don't worry. Ronnie and I have plenty to talk about.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Ronnie, you got 3 hours, buddy.
It's all you.
We're just giving you the stage.
I love it. If you ask my wife, she'd say that's not enough. But because I just love to talk. It's just something I was born to do, I believe. You know?
Yeah. Well, so tell us now, are you in the process right now of filming for the next season for the show?
Yes, we are. And we do very unique things with our filming schedule. We do it all year long.
Okay.
Usually starting after about April. But if there's a chance that one of our guests needs to do the early part of the year, we'll do that as well, especially when you're dealing with entertainer types. So, and the story you want to catch right when it's hot and when it makes good sense. Because everybody has a story. You know, I heard the story about, human nature or being a person. We as humans, we got to have three things, I think, to survive or at least to feel fulfilled. You know, you need something to love, and that could be a spouse, that could be a fur baby, that could be many things, you know, something to do, like a hobby or a passion, fishing like what we have.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, something to hope for. And that relates to religion, that relates to being able to assemble together or being a part of a fraternity, sorority, whatever the case may be, something to hope for. And that, I think, is the essence of what makes us happy, is having some of those remnants there. So, and with that, we try to capture that with a fishing story, knowing that those three elements are important. And when we sit down with a guest, we try to extract those different things that drive human behavior, because we know those are an intricate part of our being.
Yeah, and I love that, and I think that's what makes your show so special and unique, is that it's really not about the fishing techniques, but it's really about the heart of the people who are there with you, and you guys are fishing, having a conversation, and it's kind of about the relationships and just the overall life experiences that these people have had. And it's just really different from any of the other fishing shows that are out there.
Well, and thank you so much.
You've had some amazing guests on your show. I mean, give us an idea of the wide range of different types of personalities that you've had on the show.
Well,
because I know you've had, like, you've had rock stars, you've had, you know, sports, you know, you've had football players, you've had such a variety. So, yeah, give us a small sampling.
Well, one of my favorite guests, you may know this person. Her name is Debbie Hansen. She was amazing.
Oh, gosh.
And you know what I love about you being on the show, Debs, when you talked about your grandpa? That just, so much of the show, I feel like I'm getting some fulfillment because I get to sit here and listen, but then I can relate it to my life as well. And when you talked about your grandpa, and you talked about, and then we see the photos that go along with it that really add so much depth to the story, and then you tie it into what you do, being a successful radio host, also being a successful captain, that is so huge, all going back to your grandpa. So that's one aspect. Another good one, I remember DeSean Jackson. Now with the Rams, was with the Eagles before. Incredible story, just an amazing guy. But what you saw swag-wise on TV is not the person that I sat in front of. So you find out that people let down all their walls because that's what the outdoors can do, especially fishing. You're out there
so
fishing.
So true.
It just relaxes you. And then
people open up.
They do.
They really do.
And I have seen some situations where I was like, wow, this is going to be a pretty tough interview.
Yeah.
Then we go out fishing, and before you know it, we're having a great time, and fishing does that to people. And my great-grandmother used to do the same thing. You know, I think I talk about it a lot, and it's really a part of my journey and part of my story, knowing how she would sit on the side of a bank there in George West, Texas, in the river, and
which is where you grew up in Texas, correct?
Yeah, San Antonio, the best food in America. Let me tell you. And I was just in Texas, but the thing about it is, she would sit next to the side of the bank, and when she was in a normal environment, really wouldn't talk much, wouldn't tell you a lot of different details. She would just be a little stoic, if I could say that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get her out next to the water and she's fishing, it's just amazing.
It is just so, so special when you get out there on the water with certain people. And it is. It's just the essence of who they are kind of comes out, and you see it. and you catch a fish or they catch a fish and you have that bonding, you know, moment or moments together. And honestly, fishing is the great unifier. Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter what's going on, I feel like fishing just has a special way of bringing people together. And I love that your show does that. And Ronnie, so that folks know, they can find you. You're on World Fishing Network, correct?
Yes.
And you are on the Outdoor Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And folks can also watch. They can stream on Amazon, correct?
Yes, Amazon Prime.
And on Discovery Go?
Yes.
Okay. So, and there's any specific times that you air on World Fishing Network and on the Outdoor Channel?
Well, starting third quarter, and looks like I believe it's going to be 9 p.m. on Sunday evenings. But they'll run three times a week per episode, and you'll see some new episodes on this particular third and fourth quarter the rest of this year on the World Fishing Network. And, of course, we're running the first two quarters on the Outdoor Channel, but a lot of great content, and you'll be excited to see some good stuff. But before we go into the World Fishing Network, next week, Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., we have Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, his mother. And what an incredible amount of interaction and fishing we had. I like crappie. Anybody that knows me knows I like to eat crappie. And so I went all the way down to Houston, Texas, and we fished on her favorite lake. And Thomas, he has a pier named after his mother. He had it built and named it after his mother because she learned her fishing prowess from her grandmother.
That is so
her mother.
Awesome.
Yes.
That is really, really neat.
Who taught him.
And you learned from your grandmother.
Yes.
So that's a common thread there, mm-hmm. which I think is so neat. I mean, you went out fishing for the first time you were five, right?
Yes.
With your dad.
Yes.
But then it was your grandma who really, your great-grandmother, who started taking you out on a more regular basis.
Yes. And I had to graduate to fish with her. I couldn't just go out there, else she would fuss all day if you didn't have your stuff together. So
you had to make sure you were organized and on point.
Yes. You knew what you were doing. You knew how to put the weights on. She didn't want to have to babysit you. You knew how to tie on your hooks, everything. So I say my dad took us out fishing and taught us the basics, but quite honestly, I tease him about it all the time. I was like, Dad, you know, you couldn't catch a cold in Alaska, but at the end of the day, you took us, so that was good. But my great-grandmother is really where the essence of my fishing skills came from.
So she really influenced your love of the sport.
Oh, did she ever. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. And in her latter days, she talked about how she thanked me for being that one great-grandchild, more so than even the grandchildren, which is my father, that loved and enjoyed going out with her, but also gave her fulfillment. And I knew it was time to transition when she said, I don't want to go anymore. So I knew it was that time.
Yeah, when you knew that something that was that special and such a big part of her life. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't you tell me she used to actually go fishing like in her dress and in her nylon stockings?
Yes.
I remember us having this conversation on the phone before I came and filmed the show with you. And it was just such a great visual because mm-hmm. we're talking about, give us a time frame of reference. This is like back in the, 70s?
Yeah, 70s, exactly. And so, 80s, even as an adult, when I had kids, had a family, I'd still come back and try to
and
even
fish
bring
with
my
her.
Kid. Yes. That's, it was just a part of me.
Carrying it through the generations like mm-hmm. that, that is what it is all about. And to think now, you know, you were just down here a couple of weeks ago fishing Boca Grande Pass for Silver Kings with your two kids.
Oh, man.
And what was that experience like? Because you went out, three or four times?
Yeah. And
towards the end of May, I'm going to guess. So
and I paid
tarpon
for
season
it.
Was in full swing.
Yes, it was. And
had a few sore muscles.
Yeah, a little bit. And I like to work out, but that's some kind of workout. So, but it was great. We had an incredible time. It's me and my kids. And they've always wanted to do it. And we went out there and wrecked them. We didn't get, land any, but we got them close to the boat enough to say, hey, we pretty much caught them.
Right.
And we didn't want to do too much craziness because there's a lot of sharks out there, and I don't want to see a tarpon get taken out by a shark.
Right, right.
You know, so we fish for them as long as we need to, cut the line when we see the sharks getting too crazy. Had an absolute ball.
That is just so fantastic. And the fishing this year has been so good down in this area. And I've been seeing a lot of the guides that are fishing up in the pass who have had a really successful season so far. So just, it's great. Now is a good time to be out there on the water. And we know so many people are taking advantage of it,
which is
good to see. More new anglers than ever before. So we'll have a responsibility as an industry to make sure we keep them engaged and keep them hooked, definitely.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to head off to our very first break of the morning.
We are, yes, and I Rick? Just want to explain that before we go to break, we are having phone problems. I know that's just hard to believe that something would go wrong here on the show with the phones because, you know, Ronnie, this has never happened before.
Uh-oh. And all.
Hey,
that's sarcasm, by the way.
I didn't bring my rabbit's foot. I'm sorry.
Extreme sarcasm, by the way.
We learn to just roll with things in here.
So,
and we've got a great guest in the studio, so Ronnie and I will have no issue carrying on conversation this morning. So don't you worry, Rick.
We got this. The word has been put out to the engineering staff. Whether or not, you know, we can get anything going, but we're certainly doing what we can to try to get them back up. So
it looks like we're still getting text messages.
We are
so
getting
guys,
texts and calls. We just
captains. You can go ahead and text in your reports this morning. 239-337 ESPN 239-337-3776.
And we'll update you on the phone situation.
And we'll keep you all posted. In the meantime, we're going to head off to a break. You are listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it all seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my special guest co-host, Mr. Ronnie Green, host of A Fishing Story on World Fishing Network and the Outdoor Channel, renowned bass angler. Well, these days you're doing all kinds of fishing.
Yes.
Offshore, inshore.
I love it all.
Freshwater, all of it.
I mean, I've actually just gotten so excited about the offshore game. The offshore game is just so amazing. Grouper, red snapper, you know.
It's red snapper time
now.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. Let me tell you, it's on fire. And you can't come around my house without having a ton of red snapper in the freezer because we've been catching a few here or there, you know.
Yeah, you've been getting out.
Mm-hmm.
That's great to hear. And Ronnie, honestly, I think your story is so inspiring too, because we've got some similarities in our career transitions. I know that you had a very successful career in medical device sales, and then made the decision that you were going to pursue your dreams and make a full time living out of doing something that you loved in the fishing industry. So tell me a little bit about how you got started fishing bass tournaments, and then how you ended up coming up with the idea for the show?
Well, the way my bass fishing career just really catapulted was through the transition of my mother. After she passed unexpectedly, I moved down here and fished every day. It was therapeutic for me. 12 hours a day. This is even after coming back from work as a sales manager in medical device. And anybody know anything about medical device sales? You're dealing pacemakers, defibrillators, and prior to that is hematology, clinical chemistry, and immunology. It takes a lot.
Yeah.
And I was very successful, and I always wanted to be number one. Imagine that. So at the end of the day, putting a lot of time into that and then grieving the death of my mother, all of a sudden, while I'm fishing, then my fishing is getting a lot better, not knowing that I was, you know, getting better. Ultimately, I said, I'm going to go ahead and enter a bass tournament. A friend of mine said, hey, you ought to enter a bass tournament. Dude, you catch them all the time. You catch them every kind of way, blah, blah, blah. I get in the bass tournament. Next you know, I place in the top 10. Then at the time, the Elite Series had co-anglers, and every time I'd fish a Elite Series with the Bassmaster, I'd get me a top 10. And I'm fishing behind some of the best in the world, and I'm catching them. So I was like, there's something to this. So I kept doing my thing, but I still felt like I did not want to leave my job. So I felt like that there was so much missing in fishing, and then I put all of the sum total of all my life's experiences into where I was at the time, and it all pointed towards a TV show. And it was fate how that happened as well. Because someone came to me, making a long story short, and said, hey, you're a TV host, when I was at an event. And they had sought me at another place when I was speaking in my regular job doing the national sales meeting thing in Texas. And so all the stars aligned. They told me, put together this demo thing, and I was like, whatever. And being a little bit of a skeptic, quite honestly. And my wife's like, you might want to do it. Just keep an open mind. There's no harm, no foul. So I did it. And literally the rest is history. But where it was really, really tricky was after 2 years, I told my wife, hey, I'm getting ready to make a move. I'm going all the way in. She's like, okay, did you bump your head or did a hook hit your brain? What happened? I was like, look here. I said, it's time. So we made the move, and I have been more fulfilled than I've ever been because I'm doing what I love and getting paid for it.
And you only get one life, right?
You only
it's
get one life.
It's not a dress rehearsal.
No. Ooh, I love what you said, Deb. That is it. You know, and I listen to a lot of motivational speakers, but I listen to a lot of anecdotal things from anyone that has something of substance that may relate to me at the moment in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, and I told him about it when I finally met him, and he likes fishing, and he used to talk about being on the show as well, Steve Harvey, when he talked about the speech about jump. Making the jump,
mm-hmm.
jumping off the cliff. And he talked about how, you know, you're going to go down and it feels like when you pull your parachute, it doesn't open right away. You're going to hit some branches on the way down and you feel like, oh, no, am I going to crash and not be able to survive because I'm out. I'm gone. I jumped. And gravity doesn't wait for anybody. It does its thing. And
sure does.
And next thing you know is once you figure it out that you've jumped, you find a way to survive. You find a way to make it work.
Amen.
And that's what I've done, and I love every minute of it. The good, bad, the ugly, I love it.
It's, you know, it's one of those types of situations where I think initially you don't realize how much work is going to go into it. You're just almost, you know, it's your passion. So it's one of those things where you're not, you know, time is kind of going by and you're not even realizing how hard you're working because it's something that you absolutely love.
Ooh, you said a mouthful. And let me tell you why, because there's times like I'll wake up at 3 a.m, Debbie, and I'm just rocking and rolling, doing my thing. And then next you know, I'm going to bed at about 11 or 12 or 1 o'clock after I'm all said and done. We've done the show and done some other stuff, editing this, that, and the other. And I'm like, wow. and I get back and do it again. And people are like, are you kidding me? I was like, I didn't even think about it till you mentioned it to me, is what I always tell them. But I think it's really not work when you have passion. It doesn't take any effort to get up to do something that you love. And that's what's so powerful about it. You hear the cliche of, you know, if you can find something that can pay you to do what you love, then you're really not working. I've heard that a long time.
It's but, still work.
Yes, it's still work. But it's a different type, and
yes,
you're able to absorb it a lot better. Because you're doing what you love, and once that passion is gone, then all the love is gone for what you do. But I think it's in my DNA to fish. I love it. And I really feel like that it's in my DNA to communicate people's stories.
Not to mention your enthusiasm for the sport. For those of you who haven't fished with Ronnie, watched Ronnie's show, you need to make it happen, because I'm here to tell you, this man is, and that's one of the, people always tease me too. They're like, oh my gosh, were you just shaking when you caught that fish?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have, I mean, you just have that total enthusiasm. It's the bam and woo, you know, and that's, that enthusiasm is contagious, and that's what people see and gravitate towards, and that's what gets more people excited about the sport and learning more about it and just spending more time out there on the water. And really, it's just, I love seeing people when they're just out there really soaking in every ounce of that experience.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is, my thinking is this, is I feel like that I will always be a kid at heart. I love to fish, and you'll see the kid come out in me. But the excitement is also because there was a time where the excitement wasn't there because of where I was in the Marine Corps. You see some pretty interesting things. When you go to battle and you go into different, you know, places across the world. So fast forward years upon years, when some people that you knew didn't make it, any opportunity you have to show excitement and show how much you appreciate your life, this is the place for me. And it's a safe place, and it's organic for me because it's natural and normal.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And I know that you've done an exceptional job, too, of getting a lot of veterans out there on the water. You've had a few on your show, which I think is so important, because for them, helping them to cope with some of the symptoms of PTSD and other wounds of war, fishing is, it's just a healing experience for all of us, for all of us, but especially for our veterans. Mm-hmm. So, Ronnie, take me back to maybe one of the first tournaments that you ever fished when you were just getting involved in the tournament scene. What was it like? And I guess give me some insight into the mindset that you have to have, because I think it's really easy. I mean, I know what it's like when I'm getting out on the water and I'm doing some scouting and I've got clients that I've got lined up for the next couple of days and I want to make sure I'm absolutely on my game. But when you're tournament fishing, you really have to, I mean, it's all about timing.
Yes.
And
yes,
you are going from state to state, fishing different waterways, some waterways you've never fished before.
Mm-hmm.
So give me, like I said, give me some insight into your mindset and how you, you know, sort of navigated through the first few tournaments that you fished.
Well, when you fish in tournaments, it's a very unique thing. Obviously, there's practice with any profession. You definitely want to be on your game and get ready to show your craft when it's game day, so to speak. But in fishing, you got to spend at least 3 to 4 to 5 days on the water, really getting to know the water. And that doesn't mean you're going to know everything about the lake, because the lake is too big, but you got to understand a lot of the patterns of the fish, the time of the year. If it's early spring, you know, they're probably going to be on the beds. Post-spawn, they're going to be offshore potentially. You just got to know where they are in the cycle of their everyday lives and know how to capitalize on it on tournament day. Because know this, when you practice every single day, know this. This is a known saying that we talk about as professional bass fishermen. All the conditions will change the day of the tournament. So if it was really clear that day, the barometric pressure was dropping, so you were getting a lot of good bites, you were doing topwater stuff and moving baits, then all of a sudden tournament day, high pressure. And then all of a sudden, the fish are just like, I don't want to bite nothing. You know they're there. You probably can see them as well. So you got to know how to make adjustments, and you got to stay out of your own head. I'm a very competitive person, and I feel like that I get this rush like I did when you playing football or running track. It was amazing, especially at the very start of the tournament. It was the most unbelievable feeling. I'm like, wow, I love this. And you can do this as long as you want to. There is no age limit. You know, if I try to get out and run track now, I'd pull every hamstring that I had off the bone. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about this sport is you can fish as long as you want. There's some people, like a good friend of mine, I see he's doing well, Zell Rowland, good friend. And he's been doing it quite a while. I've watched him when I was younger as well. And right now he's in the top five, getting ready to potentially win the tournament. So that just goes to show you there is no age limit.
Yeah.
The limitation is only set by yourself.
Yep. And I mean, referring to all the, just there's so many different techniques, there's so many different baits that you can be using. So how do you kind of break it down when you're going out there to fish a tournament? Obviously, you got to kind of narrow down your arsenal, so to speak, in terms of what you're probably going to be using for that day, have a game plan put together. So I guess give me some insight into how you kind of make the decisions as far as what you're going to use. I mean, do you go with kind of some of your, do you have any go-to baits or lures that you're using when you tournament fish that are producers for you?
Yes, I do. And the first thing I always think about is just kind of like when I was an athlete, know your strengths. So my strengths as an athlete was my blocks. When I got out of blocks, I was so powerful out of the blocks. And then I'd hung on for dear life. So in fishing, I like moving baits. Power fishermen is what it's called.
Yep.
Not many people like to do that. But I love power fishing, but I can finesse when I need to, and I can be whatever I need to be when I need to be it. But always go with your strengths, because that's where your confidence lies, and that's where you get a lot of traction.
Yep, absolutely. So you always have some of those confidence baits along with you when you're fishing a tournament.
Cinco, chatterbait, and that Cinco is money. I don't care where you go and what you do. I love that Gary Yamamoto Cinco.
Hey, that's my go-to. I'm telling you, that's worked for me, especially fishing that weightless.
Yes.
That's my favorite.
Yes, yeah. You can catch them anywhere.
You can go
wacky, you can go Nico, you can do all sorts of stuff. You can actually punch with it. That's an underrated technique as well. Get you an ounce or a three-quarter ounce and punch with a Cinco.
Yeah.
And still smash it.
Well, we'll get more into some of that stuff here in a minute for sure. We got to head off to another break. You are listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
A little roadside restaurant, we artfully complain. Groovy tells a waitress that his chicken died in vain. Most every day goes by according to design. Live this dream, still it seems I have you on my mind.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my very special guest co-host down all the way from Tampa, Mr. Ronnie Green, host of A Fishing Story TV, renowned bass angler. We're just getting into some really good conversation here about bass fishing and some of the tools and techniques that you use when you're out there on the water. So good stuff.
Yeah, and it's just fishing in general. You know, I love to fish with those moving baits, like I was mentioning to you. And it's something about a moving bait with a person that really his mind is constantly moving and her mind is constantly flowing. You want to have something that's a moving bait, but sometimes it's good to have what we call a static bait that literally you dead stick.
Yep.
And that teaches me some patience that I didn't know I had, and that can be tricky. But at the end of the day, it's so much more rewarding when you catch a fish doing something that you're not typically normally comfortable doing.
So true. Because I remember when we were filming the show,
yes.
I don't fish a lot with bait casters just because I'm always using techniques that I know my clients can implement when they're on my boat, right? So I'm always out there scouting and using the techniques that I know I can translate over to my trips. And we were fishing, I think we were fishing chatterbaits that morning, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So that was a new experience for me. I mean, I had dabbled, you know, fishing with them here and there, but power fishing is something that's one of my goals, is to get better at the whole power fishing thing, because I do a lot of the finesse presentations, a lot of those, you know, Senkos, whether wacky style or just using them weightless or Texas rigged. But, you know, a lot of the power fishing techniques and punching mats and fishing with, like, so here's the thing. Here's a question for you.
Yes.
What's the heaviest braid you've ever had on one of your bait casters that you've ever fished with?
And I have to tell people, 85-pound braid.
Yeah.
And they think that I'm crazy. What are you pulling, whales out of them? You know, I mean, I don't know. But I think realistically, hindsight, you know, probably going back, I probably wouldn't do that again. And so the most I typically do is probably 65.
Yeah.
85 was just kind of like, it was just so thick, and I was just like, and I was having one of those days where you're getting hung up, you're getting stuck, all this. And so I was like, I'm just going to switch this big 85 because it's going to get through there a lot quicker. And then I'm going to put a 1.5 ounce or 2 ounce. And it was a frustrating day. So it was one of those, I'm going to pull this out because I'm mad at you. And I don't know what I was mad at. I was mad at the brush or mad at the punching mats.
Yeah, but when you're fishing, especially a lot of the canal systems and the smaller inland lakes down in this area, we don't have all that thick, you know, matted vegetation, the hydrilla and, you know, all the thick lily pads and things that you have closer to the center of the state. But so tell me about, like, when you're out there and you're applying a lot of these power fishing techniques, I mean, you're basically out there and you're focused on, I mean, you've got to get those baits down in the middle of all that vegetation.
You do. And the thing about it is, you just got to know there's a fine line between getting it down there and then also altering the presentation to where it's not effective, especially when it's cold. Usually you're doing a lot of punching when it's cold because we're punching in the hyacinths. The hyacinths is almost like a place where it insulates heat for them. And so they stay underneath there because the water's a little bit warmer. But at the end of the day, you got to get through there.
Yeah.
So you want to find a way to get through those mats without going too fast. So you go the lightest you can go to get through the mats.
But still knowing you can yank the fish out of there if you need to.
Yes. Yeah. So it's that whole balance. And then you got to have a fast reel retrieve because you got to cover a lot of water. Because flipping mats is like trying to watch paint dry. And that's never fun. So you got to know, hey, I got to be able to get this thing out of here. I usually do like a, you know, 37 inches of line per reel retrieve and making sure I'm getting that thing out of there just as quick as I got it in there.
Yeah, and then you're using, so give me some insight into the types of baits that you're using and the weight on some of these baits. You said like an ounce, and a lot of cases you're using.
I'm using an ounce, and I'll use, especially when it's cold, because the metabolism is slowed down tremendously. So a small bait, like a BB Cricket.
Yep.
Everyone knows the BB Cricket is money during the heavy winter months. I'm not sponsored by them, but I know the bait works, and that's what's important.
Yep.
And sometimes I'll try a small 4-inch Senko. Believe it or not, that Senko can be money because it's also a slender bait, because you got to think about, something has to be slender. You don't want a lot of appendages on on the bait, because what happens is they get hung up in the grass and or the hyacinth. It needs to be slick and very, very fluid
to kind of
going
slide through yes. yeah, all that vegetation. Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing, and you probably notice too, I would imagine, as you start to get the way I always explain to people when I get clients out on the water is sort of like, you know, when you get into some of the more extreme, and I know our conditions here in Florida aren't very extreme in the grand scheme of things, but I'm talking about when you get into our coldest winter months here and our warmest summer months, mm-hmm. a lot of the times you're using some of the same general principles
yes.
because the fish's metabolism is going to slow down in either one of those cases. When it's really cold, or if a cold front has just come through,
yes.
and when it's really hot and the water temperature starts getting up into the 90s.
That's a great point, Debbie. You know, what's funny about what you said is there's a bait that I use in both of those extremes.
Yeah.
Obviously a Cinco, but a hard bait, a jerk bait.
Yep.
So I use a jerk bait a lot with braid here in Florida because we got all this hydrilla. And sometimes when you're jerking it out of the grass, that jerking out of the grass is going to trigger a reaction bite. And I have caught some tanks catching them on 65-pound braid, throwing a jerk bait in the middle of summer. Metabolism has slowed down.
Yep.
Pause it. And you may have to sit there and watch it, drink a cup of coffee, come back, and then you
give
twitch
it
again.
Yep, yep, yep. But it's just, it is. It's really yeah. slow and everything
yes.
way down and downsizing
yes.
a little bit more.
Yes.
And then you're looking for primarily, like when you're fishing the heat of the summer, obviously you want to get out as early as possible. Mm-hmm. You're up there before, mm-hmm. you're out before the sun comes up. But it's also all about finding shade
yes.
and the oxygen in the water.
Oxygen is so important. So when I look for oxygen, I'm looking for hydrilla because it's also the clean water. And then it also has a lot of oxygen. And then, of course, it's going to have a lot of bait fish. So
yep.
bait fish is going to be where they hang out as well. And the bait fish are
trying
to survive.
Find the forage and yeah. you find the fish.
That's it.
All right. More when we come back. We got to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
Got me a bass boat equipped to the max. Gel coat and sparkle, she's my waterproof Caroline. She'd see around on the flats. I got high-tech equipment, rods and reels and lines. Brand new pickup that I bought from a friend of mine.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.